This is University Radio Nottingham.
So sorry.
Hi everyone, it's just gone 5:10 and you're listening to URN's new climate show 12 years with Sarah and Killian. Usually Sarah does this show, but we're filling in for her this week, and today our topic is fast fashion. So we've chosen fast fashion and the fashion industry in general because the fashion industry is one of the most polluting industries. It actually emits more than the entire transport industry, which includes planes, boats, literally everything, which I think is pretty hard to comprehend.
Yeah, so fast fashion is never really something which I'd very much thought about until recently. And I wouldn't say that I'm a big, as much as a consumer as some, maybe some other people are, but it's very much something that I've noticed now I've moved into a house with a different group of people that maybe consume a little bit more than I do. So,
oh no, what do you mean by that?
Oh, I say, well, I've lived my whole life with women in my family.
Okay, are you saying women consume more than men?
Well, I'm saying
I think that's probably a fair assumption to make with regards to fashion in general.
I think in terms
not
of environmental issues, there's some things which men disproportionately affect and other things which women do. So,
okay. So would you say fashion makes is a big part of your life? Is it something you think about a lot? Not really. Are you fashionable?
Yeah, I mean, everybody would describe themselves as fashionable.
Oh, do you think? Not sure what I think about that one.
I've been told I've been fashionable by certain people,
I'd say it's quite a big part. It's a big part of everyone's life, and it's definitely like a big part of my life.
Yeah.
Because they say that the clothes you wear are your chosen skin. You know, it's how you choose to express yourself to the world. It's something you can have a bit of fun with.
Mm.
A very individual thing. So I think it is something that's very important to everyone. But I do think we need to change the way that we view fashion and change the way we perceive it and change the way that we consume ultimately. And we thought this was a good week to choose fashion as a topic because Black Friday is coming up. I think it's next week. Do you know when it is?
It's next Friday.
Next Friday.
Month.
Oh, okay.
Thanksgiving. So that means the Friday is the Black Friday. So, Christmas starting after that.
Yeah.
And, so I've decided to wear my most comfortable, fashionable. So I'm wearing the most fashionable clothing I can right now. But maybe the format doesn't quite show that.
Dressed for radio.
Dressed for radio. So,
as it were.
Yeah. So let's start with our first song. So this is Stevie Wonder, Sir Duke.
You can feel it all over people.
This is University Radio Nottingham.
Welcome back. The time is 16 minutes past five, and you're listening to 12 Years, URN's new climate show.
Yeah, so we're going to start with perhaps discussing the ethical implications of fast fashion, because this is an environmental show, and usually we kind of get bogged down in the numbers and the this is how much CO2 this produces, and how it's affecting climate change, how the world's going down this horrible route. But there's very much personal aspects and personal stories that are impacted by the impacts of fast fashion. So
definitely there is. Something that we really want to talk about, which a lot of you probably know, is the Rana Plaza incident, which I think that's something that woke the world up a bit to the implications of fashion, to like how bad these big brands really are. So for those of you who don't know, this incident was essentially a big clothing factory collapsed. It was in Bangladesh. It happened back in 2013. And 1,138 people died. Another 2,500 people were injured. So it was a massive industrial disaster. The building contained clothing factories, a bank of apartments and shops. Also, something notable which you were telling me about is that when people found out the building was in danger, the shops closed, but the workers were left to carry on.
On the bottom floor, there were various businesses, and they discovered there were cracks occurring in the walls. And so the people were sent home that were in the factories above the shops. But then their factory owners made them come back the next day.
Sweet,
back
awful.
To work straight away.
It's awful. And that's
so
just,
So I think where it really relates to fast fashion, because you see that sort of thing on the news and you think, oh, what a horrific disaster. How is this in any way related to me? This is Bangladeshi building regulations. This is their worker regulations.
But it is.
But there were 29 brands, 28 of them being international brands that were having clothes and items manufactured in the factories above the plant. And, yeah, so 29 brands, 28 of them European, and that included Walmart, Carrefour, Primark in the UK were there, and
a lot of high street brands we all buy from. Marsh. Yeah, that incident starts off the movement of the fashion revolution, which is just a movement which is demanding a fair, safe, and more transparent industry for fashion. Because obviously the workers are treated awfully, and it's us that are funding that awful treatment by buying clothes from these high street shops. We are literally directly engaging in the exploitation of these workers. I think it should be noted that only 2% of garment makers in the world make like a living minimum wage. Mm. So that means 98% of people making your clothes aren't paid fairly. The exploitation and abuse rates in factories like this are so high. A lot of the workers are women, so it is in some ways like a feminist issue because it is the women that are being exploited. It's really awful. Like, I just don't think that when you go to the high street and you buy like a new top, people just don't make the connection between what they're doing and like the implications of their actions. So we just really want to get people informed on this and get people to think about all these facts. Yeah. I feel like mindless consumption is just something that everyone engages in, especially Black Friday coming up, as we said. Spending sets a double by the most ever this year. And it's things that we don't need from brands that do bad things, essentially. Yeah. I mean, for example, I've seen a lot of people wear those slogan t-shirts, like this girl's a feminist, or like girl power, and things like that. And I just think it's the most hypocritical thing because a lot of these are made by these exploited women. So yeah, that t-shirt makes you feel so empowered, but who are you empowering when people are losing their lives over this?
Yeah. And I thought an interesting statistic from that thing is that the 29 brands identified have having sourced products from the factories, only 9 attended meetings in November of 2013 to agree a proposal to the compensation to the victims. And companies including Walmart, Carrefour, Mangor, Auchan and Kik refused to sign any agreements, whilst a few other brands they did. And even the
it's
brands
awful.
That did...
When you think about how rich these brands are as well.
And it's very much a human issue that you can easily relate to, because because compensation was only given to people that could source DNA evidence.
That's awful, isn't it? Imagine a family member's died and you can't.
So there were still 24 victims' families that didn't get compensated because they couldn't back up their claims with any documentation, which is pretty grim.
It's so grim. Yeah, it's so grim. I'm just bringing it back to the whole, we can do something about this, and people just disengaging with how our actions are causing this.
Yeah.
They just fully are. Like, the climate, like, it's so bad for the world, and... Yeah. We're causing it with our actions, and we can do something about it. Like, we can consume consciously, and there's this new idea of conscious consumption, which is a philosophy of more mindful consumerism, where our purchasing habits are less harmful to the people on the planet, which I think really brings home how the fashion industry not only affects, like, the environment, as we're going to talk about in a bit, but also people, and there's a big human side to it as well.
So that was a bit grim. So I think we're going to play quite an upbeat song. Some of the songs I've picked today have been fashion themed.
Yeah, Killian was very good at choosing relevant songs. I just kind of go for things that I enjoy, but
yeah. So
Killian's more on it.
Is New Shoes by Paolo Nutini.
Enjoy.
Woke up cold one Tuesday. I'm looking tired and feeling quite sick. I felt like there was something missing in my day-to-day life. So I quickly opened the wardrobe, pulled out some jeans and a t-shirt that seemed clean. Topped it off with a pair of old shoes that were ripped around the seams. And I thought these shoes just don't suit me. Hey, I put some new shoes on and suddenly everything's right. I said, hey, I put some new shoes on and everybody's smiling. It's so inviting, oh, short on money but long on time. Slowly strolling in the sweet sunshine, and I'm running late and I don't need an excuse. So wearing my brand new shoes. Woke up late one Thursday, and I'm seeing stars as I'm rubbing my eyes, and I felt like there were 2 days missing as I focused on the time. Then I made my way to the kitchen, but I had to stop from the shock of what I found. A room full of all of my friends all dancing round and round. And I thought, hello new shoes, bye bye blues. Hey, I put some new shoes on and suddenly everything's right. I said, hey, I put some new shoes on and everybody's smiling. It's so inviting, oh, short on money but long on time. Slowly showing in the sweet sunshine, and I'm running late and I don't need an excuse. So wearing my brand new shoes. Take me wandering through these streets where bright lights and angels meet. Stone to stone, they take me on. I'm walking till the break of dawn. Take me wandering through these streets where bright lights and angels meet. Stone to stone, they take me on. I'm walking till the break of dawn. Hey, I put some new shoes on and suddenly everything is right. I said, hey, I put some new shoes on and everybody's smiling. It's so inviting, oh, short on money but long on time. Slowly strolling in the sweet sunshine, and I'm running late and I don't need an excuse. So wearing my brand new shoes. Oh, hey, I put some new shoes on and suddenly everything is right. I said, hey, I put some new shoes on and everybody's smiling. It's so inviting, oh, short on money but long on time. Slowly showing in the sweet sunshine, and I'm running late and I don't need an excuse. So I'm wearing my brand new shoes.
This is University
Radio Nottingham.
Welcome back, everyone. The time is 25 past five, and you're listening to 12 Years, URN's New Climate Show. For those who've just tuned in, we're talking all about fast fashion, and we're going to move on to talk about the environmental impacts of fast fashion. So things like the emissions, the water usage, and the microplastics. So, Killian, have you got anything to add on any of those subjects? Anything you'd like to raise?
So I'm I think one of the underrated large impact on sort of the ocean and and the climate is the usage of cheap polyester in a lot of fast fashion products.
So pretty much everything's made of plastic now.
So which is kind of scary, if especially when you see a lot of things on the news about like plastic straws and plastic cups,
plastic cloves,
plastic. But one of the more damaging issues, which there hasn't really been a lot of research, but it's certain studies are coming out now which are showing the dangerous impact that tiny fibers of polyester can have on the oceans, on all living creatures that drink water, which is right?
I think it's the fact that, is it by 2050 or 2030, there's going to be more microfibers, like more pieces of plastic in the ocean than fish, than marine life. That's pretty shocking. And that is to do with like the fashion industry. What do you think of brands that are like brand themselves as sustainable brands that sell clothes made out of like recycled plastic, like recycled, like, you know, you get, oh, these leggings are made from 70% recycled plastic bottles. Like, do you think that's a good idea? I guess it is using up products would otherwise go to waste, but then it's still surely going to end up in landfill and it's still plastic. Do you think we should just not have plastic to begin with?
Well, I think that's probably the ultimate solution is don't have plastics, have plastics that can be recycled, and then possibly recycle things into, there's certain types of harder plastics which are fine. They don't have this sort of, these fibres that wash off. I think it's 1,600 fibres, or I think it's like,
apparently fleeces are the worst type of item of clothing.
Yeah.
Which is actually really hypocritical because I'm wearing one today.
Yeah.
But they release the most plastic fibres. But now a lot of sustainable brands are selling these wash bags that you can put your clothes in the wash and it catches all the fibres, which I guess is good because you can empty that into the bin. It prevents it going to the ocean. But it's still waste. Like, you're still throwing it away. And there's really no such thing as throwing things away because there's no away. Like, it's just going to end up piling up on our earth, like clogging up our planet still.
And there's a certain debate, obviously, about what's the alternative to polyester, because it's such a great
cotton
material. It's such a great material because it's so light, it's so it's so like sweat resistant and everything, and you don't need to iron it and you can wash it so easily. But the alternative is cotton, which is like one of the most water intensive crops in the
world. That's true. More land and more water.
Has a terrible history behind it, behind certain people that have been subjugated to make cotton in the past, and like and
also lots of pesticides and fertilizers are involved in the production of cotton, which again will get into the ecosystems, get into rivers, and pollute the ocean further.
The alternative is 70 billion barrels of oil each year go into making polyester. So it's such a difficult question, such a one which is difficult and almost impossible for consumers to make when they're on the at the shopping supermarket, and they can't, you can't,
again, it's just making that connection.
Even if there was legislation behind it, because there are sort of, I learned about a little about this in engineering, there's certain standards in the EU set which can compare environmental damages, and they give everything a number and they contextualize everything. In fact, so if you've got a building material in I think it's more for large scale uses, sort of industrial product projects, where it's like everything gets assigned this number based on like local impact to local wildlife, climate change, and it doesn't quite have that ethical side of it, but you could, if you had that number next to every single product in the supermarket.
Yeah, it's a bit like putting calories next to a meal.
Yeah, it's kind of like putting calories next to a meal, but it's kind of like so much harder to sort of contextualize that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't. It's not a simple test, and it's something which would obviously really, which would benefit large corporations more than it would smaller ones, because it's very hard to, like individual people on like Etsy or whatever, they can't exactly like do these complicated calculations, because they are complicated calculations, but yeah, it's difficult. You can't weigh things up like that.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
that's a tough one.
Yeah, which probably like leads on to the easiest thing to do as a consumer.
Not consume, which is
to reduce your usage of things. But I think we're going to discuss that after the next song, which is...
3 Minute Faults by Little Comets.
It is.
One of my ones.
Yeah, one of Sarah's ones.
For once. Yeah. Thanks, Killian.
The start of recent spills across the stilted nation. All the males that are equipped with shoulders made of oven chips. Overeating, exercising, diet fats, and those denying climate change is in abundance. Building homes in frozen tundras. Tax them while you should be driving. Earth's flat. You're surviving, eating only steaks and hoping global warming some sort of pause. A human being, whales have eaten all the plastics, filled the sea with jerry, and the sawmills and social cabins held the wash up everywhere, cause I've always told you, they put things in the water, and toxic masculinity is now a fragrance in our feet, we spray it on ourselves without the slightest hint of the irony.
URN.
Just
is URN.
Welcome back, everyone. The time is 20 to 6, and you're listening to 12 Years, URN's new climate show with Sarah and Killian. So in this next section of the show, we're going to talk about the ethics of buying new clothes, of buying vintage clothes, if it's a class issue. We've had some questions from listeners about this, about if it's ever ethical to buy from a big fast fashion company. Yeah. What's to do about underwear? You don't want secondhand underwear. Killian, what are your thoughts on this?
So I think secondhand clothing is a great way to reduce your environmental impact.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think it's kind of evident from what we've been talking about for the last 30 minutes about the issues behind buying new clothing. And the reality is it's kind of hard to contextualise like what's a correct new piece of clothing to buy. And that's something which is alleviated if you buy secondhand clothing.
And it's definitely on the rise. I mean, Oxfam did secondhand September, you know, this big campaign in September to not buy anything new, buy everything secondhand. I feel like more people are going to charity shops. There is an increased trend. More sustainable brands are popping up and gaining popularity. Yeah. I think the consumer is becoming more conscious of their purchases. With regard to secondhand underwear, I don't think that's the way to go. But I think with things like that, like essential things like underwear, maybe swimwear, you probably don't want that secondhand. If you can't get secondhand, I'd say go sustainable. Get from a brand that's honest and transparent about the workers, how much everyone is paid, about everyone in the production line, you know, that's honest about the environmental impact, about the waste. Just a really, like, try and find a good brand if you do need new things, which is what I'm trying to do. I'm sure we can link you to some good brands like that.
But, so it is on the rise, people shopping in secondhand places. So last year, 64% of women were willing to buy pre-owned pieces, whilst in 2016, that used to be 45%, which shows there's a big shift towards... It's become fashionable to wear
definitely. Secondhand clothing. Definitely. And just conversations about it as well. Like, I remember talking about it with my friends at school, and a lot of people would say, oh, no, I'd never buy secondhand. That's kind of gross. Like, I don't like the idea of wearing something someone else has. And now a lot of my friends all do buy secondhand. It's a lot more really talked about. And it's cool. It's, like, cool to get something.
And there's a lot of
a nice vintage
item. You
see
so many businesses start up now as well. Secondhand, they're more boutique stores, so perhaps less towards people that don't have very much money, but to a higher end consumer.
Yeah.
More small businesses, rejuvenating high streets sort of across the country.
Yeah.
And also secondhand charity shops, which are really, really cheap. And you can pick some great deals up in there. Like, I don't want to boast, but I've got a very nice coat from the Mind charity shop in Nottingham in Lace Market.
And great. I've got loads of nice things. I've got loads of nice coats. Not loads, obviously, but you know, two.
Not excessive amounts, but...
I don't overconsume, no.
That whole area used to be an industrial, like the lace market in town. That used to be in the 1800s, it was a lace producing place. So where lots of fabrics are made. And
I
then
guess that's
it
lace
got
market,
really
makes
rough
sense.
When they all closed down. It became like sort of post-industrial, like not a very nice area. And then recently it's been regenerated, and it's in a way it's been driven by good sustainable fashion shops in the area.
Mm.
Some of them high end, some of them low end. And it's a good way for... It's good sign for the city to have more sustainable options there. So.
Also, I think something we have to consider when we're talking about this is that there is a privilege involved and needed in having the luxury to buy from more expensive sustainable brands, as there is with, I think, pretty much every aspect of like this new environmental movement. Like, it's a luxury to be able to take time off work to go on a climate strike. It's a luxury to be able to afford more expensive products to go zero waste. Mm. To buy an electric car if you want to go all the way, you know, like the initial investment, like solar panels if you want to heat your house more
to travel
environmentally.
By train internationally.
Yeah, that's far more expensive than those cheap Ryanair flights.
Holiday in the UK, like if you want to go on a nice retreat to Cornwall or something,
it's
more expensive than to going to the Canary Islands, which is like it's 1,000 miles. It's not 1,000 miles. I think that's something like 600-700 miles away on a medium distance flight. So I mean,
you can get a £30 flight to anywhere in Europe pretty much if you get in the right deal. But you know, a train to Cornwall is always going to be over £100, especially from where I am. I'm not even that far from it.
Yeah, so it's definitely an issue.
Do you think sustainable brands are pricing out poorer people? Like, do you think it's a class issue? Carrying on from this point of privilege.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because I think we were going to mention what's the name of that the brand? It's Patagonia.
Patagonia. Yeah.
So they've been like recently putting themselves perhaps more upmarket than they previously were.
Oh, really? But I don't really know much about that.
So what the article that we read about them was all about how they've started recycling and repair. I think they've got the largest repairing garments factory or something in the world, in America. And they're repairing garments and selling them to people, which is perhaps like sort of, it's admirable that they're attempting to do that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But then that also comes with a higher price. And the only people that are going to be buying these repaired garments...
People that can afford it. The privilege to do so.
So, well, it's very good that they're the people that are buying those garments. But
is it not like a kind of supply and demand?
Definitely.
More people buy sustainable brands rise, are able to produce more products at a cheaper price.
Yeah.
But then there's the risk of it becoming like a fast fashion, fast turnover, lots of products, low quality, like so many of the brands today.
Yeah, well, I think the easier way what can the government do?
Yeah.
To help. What can the government do to help out with fast fashion issues? And the reality is that we can't abolish fast fashion in Bangladesh or Thailand or something like that. These countries where they're producing it, and what we really need to do is improve their worker conditions and look at the materials they're using.
Yeah.
And campaign for these sorts of changes as opposed to suddenly going towards this very small scale repairing things, which would price out. I mean, relative poverty is a thing. Mm. So even though what we're looking at it from the climate change show in general is that the poorest people in the world will suffer. But relative poverty is a thing. And there are poor people in the UK that wouldn't be able to afford these like repaired items of clothing. And instead, like small steps in the fast fashion industry could perhaps have more of an impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point.
Yeah. So.
So what the government could do? I mean, I guess the situation kind of makes me think of the whole animal testing situation. So, we had a lecture on this, and animal testing's been banned in the UK for years now. And I think our lecturer kind of led us to believe that nothing you buy will be tested on animals. Which isn't true, because so many products that you can buy in shops in the UK, they just are tests on animals in China. It's kind of a similar situation. Like, we can ban slave labour. Well, we can try and ban slave labour. But it is effectively slave labour. Like, there's not much you can do about foreign government legislation. I don't know. I don't have the answers.
Yeah.
I wish I had the answer.
But in a way, it's more of an approachable problem than perhaps some other problems that we'd be discussing on this show.
Yeah.
Because there is very much... we're going and buying a certain amount of clothing.
Yeah.
And there's people out there that a package a day arrives from them from a certain retailers where they don't really need that much.
Killian's housemates.
My housemates, of course. But they don't really need that many clothes, and a lot of it's a social situation. So that's why it's so encouraging to see the number of women willing to buy secondhands increased over the last 2 years. And I presume it will hopefully increase more.
Yeah,
as
hopefully
well.
It's an exponential trend.
And that this is something which... poor people buying cheap clothes from Primark, the lowest people in British society, aren't actually contributing as much as those people who are just above the low, but addicted to fast
fashion. I don't know
fashion.
If you can call them the low. refer to people as low in society.
Something which, would...
people that struggle more economically,
you can. There are changes that we can make, wherever we are, that could benefit it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
On that note, let's have our next song. Which is How to Be Famous by the Sea Monsters, another one of my choices.
Yeah.
This is URN.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome.
Now, walk into the club like, what up? I got a big. I'm just pumped. I bought some from a thrift shop. Ice on the fringe is so frosty. The people like,
that's a cold honky.
Rolling in hella deep, headed to the mezzanine. Dressed in all pink, set my gator shoes. Those are green drapes and a leopard mink. Girl standing next to me, probably should have washed this. Smells like R. Kelly sheets. It was 99 cents. I get copping it, washing it. About to go and get some compliments. Passing up on those moccasins. Someone else has been walking in. Bummy and grungy. And I am stunting and flossing and saving my money. And I'm hella happy that's a bargain. I'ma take your grandpa style. I'ma take your grandpa style. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I have his hand me down? Your Lord jumpsuit and some house slippers. Dookie brown leather jacket that I found. Dig it. They had a broken keyboard. I bought a broken keyboard. I bought a ski blanket. Then I bought a kneeboard. Hello, hello, my ace man, my mellow. John Wayne ain't got nothing on my fringe game, hello. I could take some pro wings, make them cool, sell those. The sneakerheads will be like,
ah, he got the Velcro.
Whoa. I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome.
Ow.
I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. Awesome.
What she know about rocking a wolf on your noggin? What she knowin' about wearing a fur fox skin? Whoa. I'm digging, I'm searching right through that luggage. One man's trash, that's another man's come up. Whoa. Thank your granddad for donating that plaid button up shirt. Cause right now I'm up in her stunt. I'm at the Goodwill, you can find me in the I'm not stuck on searching in the section. Your grandma, your auntie, your mama, your mammy. I'll take those flannel zebra jammies secondhand and rock that. The built-in onesie with the socks on them. I hit the party and they stop and they be like, oh, that Gucci, that's hella tight. I'm like, yo, that's $50 for a t-shirt. Limited edition, let's do some simple edition. $50 for a t-shirt, that's just some ignorant. All that, getting swindled and pimped. All that, getting tricked by business. That shirt's hella dope. And having the same one as six other people in this club is a hella don't. Eat gang, come take a look through my telescope. Trying to get girls from a brand, man, you hella won't. Then you hella won't.
Goodwill. Poppin' tags. Yeah.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome. I'll wear your granddad's clothes. I look incredible. I'm in this big coat from that thrift shop down the road.
Is URN.
Hi guys, welcome back. Only about 5 minutes left of the show. You were just listening to Thrift Shop by Macklemore. The radio version.
Heavily censored version. I thought this would be... I downloaded it, I was like, let's get the radio edit version of this song. And it turned out to be a bit more than the radio. Or like, well, I thought maybe they'd do different lyrics or something, but clearly Macklemore doesn't give a ding about... about recording different lyrics, so
I think from this we can learn to listen to songs before we put them onto the radio.
But also like go thrift shopping because it's fun.
Yeah, go
thrift
shopping.
I mean, have you seen the music video for that?
That's have. Yeah, I actually
and
know the words.
Proper thrift shop. Mm. So that, like, when we're talking about the class issues, there, the sort of thrift shops they have in America, they're huge and they're so cheap. And it's a place in the UK where you can get like
the lowest of the low can go to America.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm sorry.
They, yeah, so they're huge.
Bad.
So
Anyway, let's get back on topic. So for the last few minutes, we just want to talk about greenwashing, which is a concept that's been around for a long time. I think it was like since the 80s. And it's basically where brands that don't really give a toss about sustainability pretend they do and release misleading information about their products to like kind of appeal to the whole environmental movement and to make more people want to buy them. So an example of this is H&M's Conscious range, which is actually, it's meant to be their whole ethical range, but H&M still, although it's supposed to be ethical, they still can't actually declare how much all their workers are paid. All the environmental points on this policy are all very vague, and it's been criticised quite a lot by just kind of being a load of rubbish. And there's lots of other brands that do this as well. I remember being really disappointed because I was like, oh, H&M Conscious is great. Like, finally, these industries, like, you know, listening to consumers, listening to what people want and doing a good thing. But it's just, you know, it's rubbish.
And I mean, that's one of it's the largest not. Worldwide brands, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, H&M, kind of the pioneers of fast fashion.
Yeah. So, yeah, and it's a topic which should be mentioned on every single one of these shows.
Yeah, because
every single topic so far, what have the topics been so far?
Deforestation, emissions, I think.
I get adverts all the time for the Brazilian government. Visit Brazil.
Yeah.
Everything constantly talk about, we're cleaning up Brazil's act. When the president, is it Bolsonaro?
I can't really say it. Bolsonaro.
So they've been terrible. They're like, deforestation's increased 35% in the last 12 months or something like that under his government.
And it's basically all for animal agriculture. Like, hashtag go vegan.
Brazil is one of the most... Yeah, that's like, Brazil is the most environmental country in the Amazon or some kind of headline like
oh,
that.
Oh, really?
Coming up on Twitter. So deforestation, what's another one they've talked about?
I talked about Extinction Rebellion.
Extinction Rebellion, less... I mean, you can I talk... Mean,
I mean,
they're the people that are trying to attack companies that are greenwashing.
Yeah.
But so what's the other one? So... single-use plastics, for instance. So in a way, I'd say the whole, say, banning of plastic straws, McDonald's. They have so much single-use plastic in everything, in all of their supply chains.
Yeah, and they sell fish in their stores, which is, fish, you know, the biggest polluter of the oceans.
So they greenwash... The very act of replacing their straws with paper straws is in a way a form of greenwashing itself.
Yeah, because they're just going to end up in landfill the same as plastic.
Yeah. And I think... Yeah, possibly there'll be a show on petrochemical companies, and that's like...
Yeah, I'm sure there will be.
Unbelievably, like, they are immoral organisations, which in a way have to exist in capitalist society. If they actually committed to renewable resources, like 50% or some radical action, they would be, like, that. These large corporations take such a long, slow time to change.
Yeah, exactly.
In a way, I'd rather just they be honest.
Yeah.
And, try and be like shady and in the background.
Yeah, I mean, but I think there should be some legislation on this, because any brand can label like themselves as sustainable. It's not like a protected term or anything. There's no actual legislation, so you just got to really investigate a brand that, like, if you think could be greenwashing.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's loads of information on it. You know, you can find brands that are transparent. There's all these organisations that, you know, it's like, oh, I can't remember what any of them are called, but they like regular. They give brands like awards if they meet, you know, certain sustainability standards. One of my favourite brands, actually, Lucy and Yak, their sustainable brand, they actually got an award like last week for doing really well in that area. It's a good
and
sustainable
it's
brand.
Not industry led, because that's something. That
yeah, they're so transparent. Like
we've only got
only a few minutes left.
Only one minute left.
So
what's your what's the last tip there?
My last tip would just be mindful about your consumption. Really think about if you need an item. You probably don't, to be honest. Again with Black Friday, don't just buy it because it's reduced. Like, you do think about if you need it, think about if you're going to use it. I mean, the average garment's only worn 4 times, and there's a whole, like, you know, the 30 time rule. If you buy something, try and wear it 30 times to try and get wear out of it. I don't think that's enough personally, but I just think, be mindful, think about the people that have made it, think about people that have suffered to make your clothes, think about if wearing that would make you feel empowered or not, or if it's just all a big lie.
Cool. So reduce, that's one word, reduce. So we're going to play us out with Ticket to Ride by The Beatles.
Thank you very much for listening, everyone.
Should've think twice, should've do right by me. She gets to